The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and for the next hour, lots of information for you so that you can support your good health and reduce your risks in a variety of different issues. And so joining me this morning is Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And I know that you have, at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, lots and lots of information and very far-reaching tests in order to keep people well, not simply the tests that are diagnosing a disease, which seems to be the modus operandi of mainstream medicine. So let's talk about some of the tests that you might be a little critical of, and then some of the ways that people can support wellness instead of waiting for a disease diagnosis.
Janet, I don't think you need to be a doctor to make the observation that mainstream medicine does very little to keep people healthy. Although they make the claim, you know, they're going to control your blood pressure, that's going to keep you healthy, or control your diabetes, that's going to keep you healthy, and they've succeeded in confusing people that controlling these issues is keeping you healthy. What are they doing to prevent these issues? What are they doing to prevent people from getting high blood pressure or from getting diabetes? Nothing, because their whole basis of what they do is based on selling drugs, pretty much.
And I have over the years noticed when I am reviewing someone's mainstream blood test results that very much the results are skewed toward identifying a situation for which there is a pharmaceutical.
Well, a good example is the test that doctors typically order would be cholesterol, blood sugar. Of course, there's no test, there's not a blood test for blood pressure. They take the blood pressure in the office so they can determine who needs a drug. But they're not doing checking levels of vitamin C or magnesium routinely to find out what nutrients people are deficient in, and had they been corrected, might reduce their risk of developing these other needs for drugs. And the same thing is true of testing. Think about the tests that people get done a lot. They get a stress test done, not to prevent heart disease, but to see who's a candidate for surgery. The same thing with mammograms. They recommend mammograms not to prevent breast cancer, but to find patients they can make money on. I deliberately didn't say find patients they could cure, because people think that mammograms prevent death and everything, but it doesn't.
Okay, so having a mammography, women are told to have an annual mammogram. I'm going to say, as far as I could remember, it used to be after the age of 50, and then they reduced it into their 40s, and then they lowered it again into their 30s, and now it seems like it's going, the age range for recommendation for mammography is going up again. But once again, are the women who are faithful with having their annual mammograms, Are they being protected by having a mammogram?
No, that's the big secret out there.
Okay, so a mammogram. My perspective on mammograms is that, first of all, mammography is an X-ray technology. And an X-ray technology is extremely efficient at identifying very dense tissue, skeletal tissue, calcified tissue. And so very often women get results identifying calcifications. Sometimes those calcifications are identified as a precancerous situation. And tell me where my thinking might be incorrect, that the calcifications, calcium goes to an area of inflammation, possibly goes to an area of infection, encapsulates that aberrant tissue or aberrant cell area, and essentially cuts it off from further development. And so that's kind of how I look at mammograms being very able to identify those calcifications.
Well, that's what their diagnosis is based on. If they see these microcalcifications, that they call them, they say, aha, that could be cancer. It's very suspicious. We must do a biopsy. And that's the way things go. I'm not a big fan of mammography. You know, patients that have spoken to me know that. And, of course, if you've heard me speak about thermography, you know that's my preferred beginning approach. But I skip mammography altogether. If we see an abnormal thermography, we go to ultrasound and MRI of the breast. You want to avoid compression and radiation of the breast. Makes no sense.
I am so appalled that so-called science thinks that a traumatic crushing pressure to soft tissue and then radiating that hormonally sensitive tissue is a reasonable approach to diagnosing disease. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, has not self-examination been identified as a very high quality initial aspect of determining your risk of cancer developing in the breast?
Yes, and that should be done routinely by women anyway. And some studies have found that it's, from the standpoint of saving lives, it's just as good as mammography.
Right.
And in fact, there are women that report feeling a lump after they had their normal mammogram.
Right.
So
that's very scary.
And I wonder how many women skip the self-breast exam in favor of their yearly mammogram, thinking, well, that's going to give me the protection I need.
So, I think that probably is an issue for a great number of women, that they don't necessarily have to do that self-examination. Now, here's a question about making the self-exam even more helpful with regard to breast health. Is there a particular time of the month with regard to hormone changes that is more beneficial for identifying breast tissue changes?
In a premenopausal woman, it is.
Yes.
In a postmenopausal woman, it doesn't matter. So premenopausally, right after your period begins, when your hormones are at their lowest, is when you would want to do the self-breast exam.
Okay. Have you ever had a patient who 1 month there was nothing there, and the next month there was a lump of significant size?
I can't say I've had patients like that, but I can tell you there are patients like that where they've had where the lump comes up quickly. Let me say that, and I think everybody would agree, well, hormones play a role in breast cancer. And this is not being addressed by the gynecologists that women see, because they tell a woman, oh, you had breast tenderness before your period, that's normal. They don't go any further than that. Or if a woman really has a...
Wow. That's just beginning to sink in. What you said is sinking into my brain. No. Breast tenderness before your period is normal. Yeah. It's common.
Very common, right.
But not
in medicine,
normal.
They use those words interchangeably, common and normal. If things are common enough, it becomes normal, but it's not. What happens, first of all, it's not normal. You shouldn't have breast tenderness. If you do, it's a sign of estrogen dominance. And it's that overstimulation of your breasts by estrogen over years and years and years that increase the risk of breast cancer. I think one of the reasons we're seeing a higher level of breast cancer in this country than some other countries is probably the high prevalence of birth control pills. So you hit now, here you're getting artificial hormones in your body that there's no way of detecting with a blood test. And so the only way to really determine if it's having a negative effect on your breasts is through thermography. The other thing that, you know, any woman goes to a gynecologist with any kind of problem, their approach is to put them on birth control pills.
That has become apparent to me over the years as well, that women are taking it for migraine headaches. Women are taking birth control for skin issues. Women are taking certain types of birth control just for convenience with regard to travel
or for acne.
So on. It's very sad to think about that. Then, when you have a favorite saying is, how do you get antibiotics without a prescription? And how might you be exposed to all manner of hormones without a prescription? And that is because this has been found in our water systems, contamination of our systems, and it is not tested to see if there's hormones present in the water.
Well, I wonder how many of our listeners are still drinking tap water.
I speak to a number of people who are, yes, drinking tap water. And my suggestion is merely one of those pitchers that has a charcoal filter. It is the beginning step. And the pitchers are becoming more and more and more sophisticated and helpful. Unfortunately, the single-use throwaway plastics, that is becoming an issue both with regard to the environment, but also with regard to estrogen. Some of those poorer quality plastics have an estrogenic effect.
That's true. I'm just thinking about the filter systems. I don't know for sure if the charcoal is enough to take out hormones from the water.
I don't know that. Just, it's a beginning step.
Well, not just hormones. What do you think the drug the most prevalent in the water supply is? What category?
Antidepressant?
That's what I would think.
Okay.
Maybe cholesterol-lowering drugs, too.
Oh, boy.
You know, they're pretty prevalent, too. Another
A cholesterol-lowering drug contaminants possibly in our water supply, and then antidepressants, because what happens when you really lower your cholesterol improperly? Depression is one of the issues. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. This morning I am joined by Dr. Herb Slavin. We're talking about how you may have been misled by the medical community. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries, but the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7
in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
Join our mailing list and get advance notice of the great events that take place at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. Health support groups, nutrition education groups, special training events. You will know about all of them when you like us on Facebook. SaveALotNutritionCenters.com, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and I'll just let you know that we are at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7. I have to tell you that from time to time, people tell me they try and put Save a Lot Nutrition into their GPS and try to find us, and that they have been led astray by their GPS. So one of the things that I would tell you to do is put PennDOT Shopping Plaza in your GPS, and you will come right to the shopping plaza. We are at the south end of the PennDOT Shopping Plaza. Great big sign out in front. Save a Lot. And we're here every Friday from 10 to 11 with the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. So I can tell you one of the messages that I would like to convey to our listeners is you will never see a vitamin supplement inventory as you see here at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center. And you will never see prices that you see here at Save-A-Lot anywhere else. And so if you're an internet comparison shopper, come on in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center and find out about our jaw-dropping prices, EDLP, everyday low prices, and those low prices that you see that are even lower than the manufacturer's listed sale price, they are an additional 10% off until the end of the year. So come on in, check us out. If you have blood work that you'd like to review with me, bring your blood work in. Bring a list of your medications. Bring your supplements in, and I'll give you an opinion about benefits and possible deficits in supplements that you may be using. I'm joined this morning by Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about testing and exposure to disease-producing substances, and that Dr. Slavin's perspective is wellness. It's prevention, and mainstream medicine doesn't necessarily get you there. Now, you were talking a little bit about mammography, and I know personally I have avoided that all my life long, and I was so very happy to discover thermography many years ago. And I want to let everyone know that you offer thermography and ultrasound at your office. Tell our listeners, if you will, the quality and state-of-the-art information that you get when you have a thermography, when a patient has thermography done at your office.
Well, there's a couple of things. The thermography is a very simple test, using very sophisticated equipment, though. It's an infrared camera, and it's just taking a picture of the temperatures of your breast. And you'd be amazed how abnormal the temperatures are on people's breasts, because they're not consistently equal. You know, you see hot spots and variations in temperature, usually all because of hormonal irregularities. But nevertheless, it's a problem. Every now and then I come across a patient where the breasts are the same temperature throughout, and are not hot, and that's a normal thermography. If we see abnormalities, you know, first of all, you go from there, you want to correct any hormonal imbalances. And usually that puts the, you know, makes the thermography better.
Okay. But I have a question about hormonal imbalances. An elevated estrogen in relationship to progesterone. And how important are the different forms of estrogen, estradiol, estriol, estrone?
Well, they're important, but estradiol is about 80% of the estrogen. So, and the estradiol will switch back and forth with estrone. And then you have the other estriol, which is categorized as an anti-cancer estrogen.
Right.
So that plays a role when we do a hormone replacement therapy, that we don't just give estradiol, we give estradiol with estriol,
okay,
the anti-cancer estrogen, and you have to balance it with progesterone. And this is, in talking about hormones, a lot of women are going for implants or pellets. And my reason for not liking that, I'll tell you what I do like about pellets for women, but I don't like estrogen pellets for women, because once you put the pellet in, and it's just estrogen, it's not progesterone, they have to remember to take their progesterone every day. It could be in a oral form or a cream form, but it's not in a pellet form. So the whole sales pitch about pellets and not having to worry about taking your hormones doesn't make sense. So it creates another problem. If you forget your progesterone, you've just created estrogen dominance or made it worse. And that's the reason I don't like it. The one area that does work well for women is testosterone pellets.
And forgive me while I gasp.
testosterone is important for women. I think the majority of women that get the testosterone is to help their libido.
Right.
And it works very well.
Right.
But that's not going to give you any of the unwanted side effects from estrogen dominance, that getting an estrogen pellet without, and forgetting your own progesterone.
Are any of the testosterone pellets natural, bioidentical testosterone pellets?
They're supposed to be. Now, if I were to make an argument against pellets in general, they're compounded, so with compounding, things can vary from batch to batch. Then the person who inserts the pellet, how deep you insert it, how superficially you insert it, is going to have an effect on how it dissolves and what levels you have.
Okay, I'm going back to compounded and may vary from batch to batch. I think that that's kind of a positive, because doesn't our own body's production vary from batch to batch?
Well, I don't know how much, but the dosages are based on prior testing, hopefully.
Okay.
So if we're used to putting this much in, we put the same amount in, but it changes. It's not supposed to change, but it could. If you're using a cream or a other form, you can make a quick correction. But with a pellet that's going to be in there for 4 to 5 months before you have to replace it, it becomes difficult to change anything.
Okay, now I have had
but
experience.
But I want to finish one thing.
Okay.
So you implant the pellet. If you go deeper, it'll get absorbed more quickly. If you go more superficial, it won't absorb as quickly. If you spend a lot of time in a hot tub or exercise a lot, it's going to affect the absorption rate. So I'm saying there are a lot of things that can...
variables.
Right, with pellets. So those would be my reasons.
One of the things that you didn't mention was something that I did have an issue with, was an infection at the site of the implantation. And unfortunately, also a failure to dissolve. So those were two different issues that had come up with different people.
Well, the infection, you're not supposed to get infections if it's done properly.
Yep, right.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, as far as failure to dissolve, probably put too superficially, too close to the surface.
Okay.
So, you know, there's, you know, not as much of a blood supply. The heat of the body is not there as much as lower down. That could be the reason, too. Or problem with the manufacturer of the pellet.
And the level of testosterone is able to be measured if it's bioidentical. Is that a correct statement?
Yes.
Okay. So it's very important for people to be following up when they're using the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, no matter what approach is being used. Critically important to be testing your hormones to see that your targets have been reached and not overreached.
Well, testing is important, but I don't think the doctors that, many of the doctors that, let me say this, mainstream doctors that are providing hormones to patients, well, first of all, for them it's a one-size-fits-all, and they're not using bioidentical hormones, so there is no testing, and that's why they don't test. When you use bioidentical hormones, you can test, you know, because those are hormones that the tests are designed to pick up, so you can determine whether everything is the way it should be.
Okay, so we talked about how estrogen replacement therapy in birth control pills, and I'm going to say in certain menopausal approaches as well. Okay, those synthetics address the symptoms so the patient is happy and feeling protected. Is that a reasonable statement?
That the symptoms the patient is experiencing are relieved by
synthetics. The synthetic hormones. So the birth control pill as an example.
Okay, so we have to go back to the start of using hormone replacement therapy. And the reason that all got started, and this probably predates even birth control pills, but I'm not sure.
Really? Okay.
They observed that women seem to be protected from heart attacks compared to men of the same age. So they said, oh, must be some kind of hormonal protection, because after menopause, when the hormone levels dropped in women, they started having heart attacks at the same rate as men. So they said, okay, we'll just give those postmenopausal women estrogen. And when they did, it sure did reduce their risk of heart attacks, but they, after a short time, they noticed an increase in cancer.
Okay, and wasn't it with the addition very specifically of the synthetic progesterone? So I'm thinking for menopausal women, Prempro, horse source estrogen, right, and a synthesized progesterone, and that combination had a dramatic impact on cancer risk.
Well, here's what happened. So they got the benefit of reduction in heart attacks, but it was causing cancer. So they said, oh, I guess we have to use progesterone. But they don't use progesterone. They use a progestin, which is artificial. So they started giving the women the progestin. The cancer incidence went down, but they lost the benefit of heart attack protection.
And I thought the cancer incidence went up with the progestin, that literally there was a great approach to try to remove that from the pharmaceutical marketplace because of the dramatic risk in cancer using that synthetic progesterone. And it was very hard to get the women to stop using it because they liked how it worked for their skin and various other anti-aging superficial aspects. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slabin. When I come back, some information about what's going on today here at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center and tomorrow. Stay tuned. More to come.
Jana Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, koji berry magnesine. lychee in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidants that provide immune support benefits in two capsules. Find out more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center. Come in and speak to our friendly and knowledgeable team.
Educational meetings, expert advice, information directed at achieving wellness rather than merely treating symptoms. This is just a glimpse of what you will find at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. If achieving health goals has been eluding you, discuss your health issues with me, Janet Cimarelli. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center was founded on the principle that good health does not mean sacrificing your budget. Learn how we do things differently at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. We concentrate our efforts on supporting wellness with the highest quality supplements at the very best of the best prices. Come save a lot of your money at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here today at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin. And I just want to let you know that if you come in today, you will find some information from BioChem about their array of products. And they have such high quality research behind their products, such high quality manufacturing processes. So lots of information from BioChem today. And Nordic Natural will be here. Information, samples, lots of tasting. So come on in today and find out about BioChem products and Nordic Naturals. And then tomorrow, come on in and have a taste of some of the Garden of Life products and some research by the people doing the formulations at Garden of Life. Lots of very high quality food source approaches to support your good health. And so that's today, BioChem and Nordic Naturals. Tomorrow, Garden of Life demonstration right here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Okay, I'm speaking about Dr. Herb Slavin. We started talking about mammography and thermography, and certainly when you have a thermographic image taken, that may lead you in the direction of seeking correction to that image.
Let me tell our listeners a little story. I don't think I have done this on the air because it happened after our prior radio show. I get a call from the FDA. And was it, I'm trying to remember, was it a call or a letter or something? But anyway, they contacted me. And I said, what's wrong? And they said, well, we don't like what you're saying about thermography. I said, what do you mean? Everything I'm saying about thermography is absolutely true. I mean, it's a very simple test. You know, it's breast pathology or breast illness is associated with heat. If you don't see any heat, the likelihood is there's nothing going on. Well, their position was...
Okay, yeah. I have to stop you and ask you, did they identify themselves beyond just a representative of the FDA?
No, just no. FDA.
Just FDA.
So I said...
You know, could have been an FDA secretary,
somebody who works in the building. It went further than that. They said, basically... we'll set up a meeting, a phone consult. You're going to talk to, they brought on two radiologists.
Okay.
And this person from the FDA.
So night and day, radiology, thermography.
Well, you know, so we have the second phone call, and they introduce themselves. And then my next question was, which of you is an expert in thermography?
I'm applauding, Dr. Slavin, yes.
Quiet, you know, no talking. And their position was, you must be recommending mammography, or at the very least, ultrasound. In other words, they didn't want thermography as a standalone test. In other words, they didn't want women relying on thermography. I pointed out to them that this is going to identify women at risk of breast cancer that wouldn't even show up on a mammogram.
For many years.
And we could, you know, intervene earlier and probably get better results, but they didn't want any part of it. So I had to change what I said on the website, because that's where they found this.
Ah.
You know, so they're looking at websites. So all I had to change was that the thermography should not be used as a standalone test. It should be used in conjunction with ultrasound or mammography.
So is it kind of standard at your office, Dr. Slavin, the Institute of Advanced Medicine, that once an individual has thermography, that then they are recommended to have a follow-up ultrasound? Or when you find nothing of suspicion,
right,
with the thermography, there's no need for the
exactly.
ultrasound. However, the FDA wants additional testing. They don't want that standalone. And the issue with me with thermography is the technology that you have at your office is dramatically sophisticated.
Yeah, no, it's a very good test. I'm going to say one thing, why it's better. Well, here's what I'm going to say. You should do thermography with a doctor that can follow up with the results of the exam.
There you go.
Because a lot of times women get the test done somewhere, and then they bring it back to their doctor, and they look at it and then throw it away. They said, what's this? You know, they don't know what thermography is, so they don't know what to do with the results. So, you know, that would be an important thing. You know, if you have a report, you want to be able to follow through appropriately with the information. So when women sit down with me, because I go in detail after they have a thermography, I like to sit down and explain it to them. And a lot of times I'll go online.
So the charge at the Institute of Advanced Medicine for the thermography includes the thermography testing as well as a follow-up with you with the results.
Yeah. And this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we have a special on thermography this month, you know, discounts.
Fabulous.
Just to, you know.
Okay.
So a lot of times, you know, I'll Google up, mammograms. Are they worth it? Are they safe? Do they save lives? And I've seen a lot of reports, and one time I came up, I discovered this one, which was entitled Why Mammography Screening is Being Abolished in Switzerland.
Wow.
Now, why would a country want to abolish such a good test?
An advanced country. I don't know what they have. Doesn't Switzerland have a lot of
drug companies?
Yeah, that too. Oh, in particular, some very, very politically active drug companies. The thing is, they're healthcare system is kind of very nicely balanced. Their food quality is good. Just in general statement with regard to Switzerland.
No, I think their determination to abolish screening mammograms was based on good science. They couldn't find the science to back up routine screening of women with mammography. They pointed out, for example, one study that was published in Lancet where they had 90,000 women who were followed for 25 years, and the study concluded that mammograms have absolutely no impact on breast cancer mortality.
Who did the study?
Well, it was published in Lancet.
Okay.
Now, these conclusions were widely publicized at the time and showed that the death rate from breast cancer was virtually identical between those who received an annual mammogram and those who did not.
Really?
And also, 22% of the screen-detective invasive breast cancers were overdiagnosed, leading to unnecessary treatment. And I think that's a big point, too. A lot of women are being treated for breast cancer that would never need to be treated.
My viewpoint, and the FDA may be coming after me after saying this, is what about the danger of annual radiation for years and years and years. That does weigh heavily on my mind with regard to annual mammograms. That radiation is not a significant contributor to development of different anomalies with regard to breast tissue.
In Europe, they will not do mammograms on women who have dense breasts.
Okay.
Number one, and they will not do it on women with the BRCA gene.
Oh.
Because they are more susceptible to the effects of radiation.
Okay.
But I say, why subject any woman to the effects of radiation and compression when there are other ways to evaluate it, especially when the science shows that there's no benefit to mammograms? The benefit is all the unnecessary ancillary tests being done because of a suspicious mammogram. You get the biopsies. Oh, first you get the repeat mammogram. Oh, that looks suspicious. Let me take another view.
And that, again, makes my brain think, what are we doing with regard to ignoring the negatives associated with repeated exposure to radiation?
Now, they've done a very good job, because I would think most women think that mammograms are a great test to have. In fact, they feel guilty if they don't have one a year.
Very often they are significantly pressured their physician.
What this report says, it's easy to promote mammography screening if the majority of women believe that it prevents or reduces the risk of getting breast cancer and saves many lives. And this would be okay if it were true. Unfortunately, it's not true. And from an ethical perspective, a public health program that does not clearly produce more benefits than harms is hard to justify. So that, I mean, that's based on all the science. They can't find a benefit associated with routine mammography.
Okay, so are we to assume that Switzerland has no economic connection to technology manufacture, technology development that would suffer by eliminating the mammogram, mammograms?
I guess what they're saying is probably not, because if you do self-breast exam, you'll probably find the same number of women with the problem. Well, no, you'll probably find less, because there are a lot of women that won't feel anything, treated, and probably do much better than if they did the mammogram, saw something, and got treated unnecessarily. Now, I've told this story about, I have a patient who's in her late 80s and comes in regularly. We give her IV nutrients and this and that. And her daughter, who was in her early 60s, was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she went mainstream. 18 months later, she was dead, and probably died from the treatment, because, you know, the normal course of breast cancer, if you left untreated, would probably be as much as 15 years. It doesn't kill people quickly unless you do something stupid like surgery and chemotherapy and radiation.
Biopsy.
Yeah, biopsy too. And speaking of that, I had another patient. This is a tough area about biopsies, because I think there's a lot of strong observation that biopsies might increase the risk of spread.
Right.
On the other hand, you can't make a diagnosis without a biopsy. And I'll give you an example. So I had a patient. He had some pain in his chest. So they got an X-ray. Something looked suspicious. And so he goes down. Somebody called it a sarcoma, a chondrosarcoma. And he goes down, and they said, well, they didn't biopsy. They said, we just have to, cut it out. It's a chondrosarcoma. When they cut it out, they found out it was multiple myeloma. Now, the reason that's important is that the treatment is entirely different. And, don't rush into things. Get second opinions.
Very important. That's additional information.
But they scare you so much that you stop thinking
and
you rush.
Must do it now. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we've been talking about all kinds of problems. This ending segment for Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour, some answers, some support for your wellness and good health, some support for prevention. Stay tuned. More to come.
Come to my office at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. I can evaluate your blood work to determine the beneficial activity of your supplements. For comprehensive testing information and personalized recommendations, speak with me, Janet Cimarelli, and get the guidance needed to achieve meaningful results for your personal health issues. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is located at 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center in Margate.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That is where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait for special sales. Every day of the week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Want more? Go to info@SaveALotNutritionCenters.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as promised, I'm going to go into some of the things associated with supporting wellness and minimizing your vulnerability to a variety of cellular changes that can ultimately present as a disease diagnosis. Number one, vitamin D. Here's my statement. We didn't mention it before, but breast tissue and prostate tissue are genetically identical. So what I'm going to say with regard to supporting breast health for the wives and all the female relatives of men, you can be sharing this information that supporting breast health for women, you are supporting prostate health in males. Vitamin D. Now, there was an Australian research study that came out that said vitamin D is not associated with maintaining bone density. And so that might move a lot of people away from their vitamin D supplements. However, vitamin D, the more supported your vitamin D status, the lower your risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer, the lower your risk of colon cancer, the lower your risk of skin cancer, and ultimately all types of cancer. Here's something so inexpensive and so easily supported. So don't necessarily be drawn away from taking your vitamin D supplement. It's important, and it's important to test your levels to see that the supplementation is sufficient to keep you in a protected range. Zinc, just overall very important with regard to how your immune system is going to work. And then one of my favorite supplements, Unique E. Unique E has a benefit for your immune system, your heart and circulatory system, your hormone balance. So a wide range of different approaches that are very important. Dr. Slavin, there's a list of a number of different tests that I think are important, but what do you prioritize with regard to reducing risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer?
Well, I just want to say, since you were talking about men and prostate cancer, that men can be estrogen dominant as well.
Of course. And it doesn't mean that your estrogen levels are off the chart. It just means the ratio.
A little higher than they should be. And I remember asking a urologist, I said, do you check estrogen levels in the men? He said, what for?
Right.
And just as an aside, elderly couple will come in and will frequently find the man has higher estrogen levels than his wife because they're converting testosterone to estrogen. So that should be looked into because it could be corrected.
So would you be testing aromatase enzyme to determine that?
No, you just check the hormone levels in the men. And if we find it's high, you know, there are you can try some natural products or you can try anastrozole in a very low dose to just, block the conversion a little bit.
Okay.
Now, just so they know, some drugs can be a factor in this. Now, you mentioned zinc. Zinc is a factor in it. Low zinc levels will increase aromatase activity. Some drugs can do that. And having excess adipose tissue, nice way of saying
estrogen belly, or estrogen belly.
Okay.
Yeah. I see and speak to so many different women who are very concerned about that, and even though their hormone test results don't necessarily show estrogen dominance, they are still struggling to burn that belly fat.
What I use as a guideline is I like to see between estradiol and progesterone about a 10-to-1 ratio.
Okay.
So if you do an estradiol level and it's 20, you like to see the progesterone to be at least 2.
Okay.
So, give you sort of a guide because you can be estrogen dominant and yet be normal on the blood test.
Right.
Because both hormones are in range.
Right.
But they're not balanced properly.
Right.
So.
Okay. Just a very, very basic test that pretty much everyone is having done would be a glucose test and an A1C, but it's a relatively rare situation to see a fasting insulin test. And those three numbers are able to be indicative of risk of developing cancers. Your general cancer risk can be higher if those numbers aren't within range.
And it's a little bit more than that, too. Let's talk about diabetes. You can have a normal blood sugar and a normal hemoglobin A1C and yet have an elevated insulin level.
Right.
But if you don't check the insulin level, you don't know that. So being insulin resistant, in other words, you need higher insulin levels in order to control your blood sugar, is the earliest signs we'll call it prediabetes or they have a bunch of different names for it, but metabolic syndrome, another one. Anyway, you want to know that.
Syndrome X.
You want to know if your insulin levels are high because you can correct it just by changing your diet a little bit. You want that information. Otherwise, over time, your pancreas will no longer be able to keep up with the high insulin production. Insulin production drops. Now your blood sugar goes up, and now the doctors are happy to give you drugs. And this could have all been avoided if the patient wanted to. It's funny. People don't want to avoid drugs until they have to start taking them.
It's interesting to me because that information with regard to syndrome X, prediabetes, metabolic disease, all of those categories were identified in research 15 and 20 years ago. And it's just now reaching mainstream where there's more attention being given to that category of testing with regard to a whole range of diseases. And so here at Save-A-Lot, what people can be doing, the herb berberine from Oregon grapefruit, alpha lipoic sustain, fabulous at supporting antioxidant activity as well as interacting with maintenance of a balanced blood sugar and insulin level. I have Janet's Best Sugar. That combination of ingredients is so efficient for someone in kind of questionable area, that things are starting to go up, that there's no explanation for it because diet is the same, exercise level is the same, sleep is the same, but our bodies, as we age, we need to be proactive with regard to blood sugar going up. The hormone testing, absolutely critically important. And as a closing statement, what do you have to say that kind of sums it all up to our listeners, what they need to be knowing about protecting themselves? Because it's up to them. They're not going to get protection and prevention and wellness. It is medical practice for disease, and you want to stay out of that category.
Well, I have to say, one of the tests we routinely do on everybody that comes in the office is a body composition.
Okay.
Which is, in other words, it's not enough, it's not good enough just to weigh somebody. You really need to know what that weight is made up of. In other words, fat tissue, muscle tissue, water weight. Because two people could be the same weight, and one could be in great shape because they have lots of muscle and not much fat, and the other one could have lots of fat and little muscle and weigh the same. So determining what's going on. And the other thing is, by showing people, to some extent, it's a motivator. Now, when someone comes in and says, you should lose 40 pounds of fat, I say, let's start with 10 pounds.
Right, absolutely. But reasonable breakdown goals.
And fat is inflammatory. So when you see elevations in inflammatory markers, many times it's, because you have excess fat tissue. Could be something you're eating on a regular basis doing it. And inflammation is something you want to avoid as well.
Fat is also a pro-hormone aspect of body composition. And that is not necessarily a benefit with regard to your metabolism. Muscle tissue is supportive of an efficient metabolism. Fat is just the opposite. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I think our conversation should be helpful for lots and lots of our listeners. And that music means it's time to say goodbye. Save a Lot Nutrition Hour will be back next Friday at 10. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.